Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today, I am so excited to have Star brought us with us. She is she does credit repair and financial services, and she's an entrepreneur. And I cannot wait to hear her story. So I'm already crying. But anyway, this is where we talk about, you know, what people don't normally talk about. And Star has agreed to be brave enough to talk about something that she doesn't normally talk about and how she has overcome some major challenges. I was thinking about it today that, you know, I was kind of a victim in my life. And the worst thing that happened to me was that, you know, they forgot me once when they were going out to dinner. You know, I mean, honestly, I really had nothing. I had nothing, knock on wood, nothing terrible happened. Although you wouldn't have known that by the victim I was until I got real and got clear with Real Talk, which is the book that I just published a couple of weeks ago, which we'll talk about later. But Star, welcome and thank you for your courage and your willingness to tell your story today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm excited as well. So thank you for the platform. I think this is important. So I definitely give it back to you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, all right. Let's see, where do we want to start? I know, you know, so when you were, just talk about a little bit, you know, growing up when you were a little kid. I know you were, I think you were the oldest of quite a few children. How many?
There was four. So altogether, there's seven, but in the household, in my mother's household, there was four of us. And I was actually the middle child. My older brother was just always absent. So that left me to be the older one in the house, but I'm actually the middle child out of her four.
Okay. All right. And what was your growing up like? Let's say before the big stuff happened, I'm assuming that was when you were in your teens, but what was growing up like there?
It was very difficult and interesting. It had good and bad times. For the most part, we made do of what the situation was. So growing up for me was kind of fast. Didn't really have a chance to, you know, be a full kid. I grew up very fast, and my brothers and sisters were younger, so I just took on this mom role and this guardian role of jumping in to take care of them. But outside of that,
and how old were you when you jumped into that role?
Oh man, maybe 11 or 12. Okay. Yeah, okay. 11 or 12.
All right. You know? So, and where was your parents at that time?
So my mother was around, but my father, he was in and out of prison. So he wasn't always stable. So he was in and out of prison and wasn't in the household. So my mother was a single mother of four. So my mother was around, but then she dealt with a lot of things herself. She has lupus. And so therefore she was on limited income. And then that alone was just a lot on her. So she just wasn't, you know, present. She did what she learned. You know, she was just trying to make sure that we ate at minimum and had a roof over our head. But outside of that, her mother passed when she was younger. So her learning how to parent or getting certain things from her mother to be able to pass on, she, you know, people can only give you what they have, what they're capable of.
And why was your father in and out of prison? Like, what was he doing or not doing? Or
Yeah, that was for child support to my mother. So not keeping a job and paying child support, and in doing so, it ends up, landing you in jail. So he was in and out of jail for child support. If you don't pay child support, then yes, they will send you to jail, which is even worse because you don't pay child support, but then
Right.
they remove you, even if you were a good father on a level of not having any money. Now, the household goes without money and the parent. So, yeah, the
Do they
system.
still do that? I
They
wonder.
do.
Or is that
And
in certain states?
that is everywhere. That is in all 50 states. You will get
Wow.
incarcerated if you do not pay child support. And now they even will take your passport and suspend your driver's license if you do not pay child support. So it's even gotten even more rigorous.
Okay. Right. So your mom's doing the best she can. 11 or 12, you become the mom of your siblings, and then what happens?
My father was in and out of jail, so he would call me and tell me, "Hey, you're the oldest sibling. I need you to look after your siblings." And he knew I was mature. I was always very smart, honor roll student, keeping my room in order. So I was always very together, so to speak. So he knew that I could do it. So he would call me and he would say, "Hey, I need you. Your mother is, she needs help because my mother was drinking." So she drunk a lot to deal with her problems, her lupus, being a single mom of four kids. She could never work and have a job because of her disability. So I can only imagine now that I'm older, I can only imagine her mindset and what she was going through on one limited income check for her disability. And then she has four kids and then no one to help her. So my father would call me from prison and say, "Hey, you're the oldest. I need you to look after your brothers and sisters." And
And where was your older brother? Where was he?
he was in and out of group homes. He was really bad. His anger, you say something to him and he's gonna settle it, right? In the best way that he knows how. So he was a fighter. He used to fight all the time and stay in trouble. So he would always get sent to group homes. He would get sent away. He'd get in trouble, get sent downtown to juvenile services, and then they would send him away to group homes. So he wasn't there. He was always in and out of group homes.
So if he was away and there was you, were there two younger ones?
Yes, I have a brother and
Okay.
sister that are, they're twins.
Oh,
They're
okay.
a year younger than me, and they are twins.
Wow. So you're 11 taking care of 10-year-olds. Wow. Okay.
And
Wow.
they're twins, but I was just there. You wouldn't have thought I was 11, which is odd. We're only a year apart, but you would think that I'm like 5 to 6 years older. I was just always more advanced.
Yeah, wow. All right. So then what happens?
At this particular time, my dad calls, "Hey, I need you." So there would be times where I would be in school and my father would send, different resources and people into the school to come talk to me to make sure that we had food and we had lights and that we were doing okay. So he would call and say, "Hey, I'm going to send some people out. I want to make sure y'all have food." So even though he was in there, he still made do of all the resources that were in there to make sure that we were okay and to help my mother from inside of there because they do offer a lot of resources when parents are incarcerated. So that is a plus, to being
So, like,
incarcerated.
what kind of people? They would just come to the school?
Yeah, they would come to the school or they would come to, or they would even come to my house. So let's say, for an example, it was Salvation Army, or
Oh.
social services or Red Cross or they had a program like the Angel Tree around Christmas time that I can remember. He would sign us up for the Angel Tree. And then around Christmas, we would make a list of what we wanted. And then there would be people like I even do today that would donate to families that,
Yeah.
needed help with clothes and toys and all that. Now I'm on the opposite end and I do the same thing because I know how that is. And I was a recipient of Angel Tree programs and things like that.
Wow. Okay.
There
So
was
then
times
what
where
happened?
our
Yeah.
Christmases came from other people. One,
Oh.
absolutely,
That's nice. That's nice. All right. Now, you had said, unless I wrote it down wrong, that at one point you had been locked up in jail.
Yeah. Well, fast
So,
forward to as
yeah,
I'm leaving.
how did you go from nice, responsible mothering child to jail? Like, how did that happen?
Well, fast forward, I'm
Okay.
11, and this is really key. So my father, even though he was locked up, and it's even hard, so I don't speak about my father. And I just actually, he's been gone for over 10 years, and I just ended up posting a picture because he had a picture of him and my mother together. So it was very hard because even though he was in and out of jail for child support, he still was very pivotal in the person that I am. So as I'm getting older, I'm 11 or 12, I have to get into this role because he's in and out of jail. But then he would come out and, he would be there. So it wasn't consistent. But then I turn 15 years old and you can get a job. All you have to do is go to the school and get a work permit signed. So I'm excited. My father tells me he's working, he's on work release at Wendy's. And he tells me, hey, you can get a job at Wendy's. I know the manager. You just have to get a work permit signed. And I'm like, yes, I want to work. So at 15, I go to my school counselor, get a work permit signed. And then now I'm working at Wendy's with my father while he's incarcerated because he's on work release. So he comes for a couple hours and works, and then he goes right back to the prison. But he said, hey, she's 15. She has a work permit. I'll be responsible for her. So, I'm working at Wendy's with my father so that I can have some extra money to help with the household and for myself. And I was very responsible. I wanted a job. So, again, I'm 15, but it doesn't seem like I'm 15 mentally and as responsible as I was. So, I get a job with my father at Wendy's at 15. Everything, is going good. And then after that, I turned 18, and now I can get a real job because I'm 18. So now I can make even more money than Wendy. So I get a job at Citibank and I'm doing customer service at 18. So making more money. Now I can dress up and, wear heels and little suits and that type of thing. So I was like, okay, I felt like I was coming. So I met my ex-husband or my daughter's father. So I met him. And whenever I met him, he was in the streets, so to speak. And so that kind of drug me into that lifestyle of being in the streets and getting locked up. So how I ended up getting in the streets was because he was in the street
Wait, wait,
and
wait. What? I'm not. What does in the street mean?
and okay, yes.
I'm like, I can guess, but I don't think I really get it. So,
So, meaning in the street selling drugs, making
oh,
money, whether it was
okay.
gambling, selling drugs, just making money and not
Okay.
working.
So, were you still at Citibank?
I was. So, I was
Okay.
still on the right track. I'm at
Yeah.
Citibank. I'm doing my thing. I meet him. He's a nice guy, doesn't have a job, but he has money. He has his own car. So, whatever he does on the side, I'm like, he's grown. It's none of my business. I'm making sure that I'm on the right track. And I stayed away from it. He did keep me away from everything and I stayed away from it. And we got in a relationship. I ended up getting pregnant. And then when I got pregnant with my daughter, I only have one daughter. When I got pregnant with my daughter, he ended up getting incarcerated and he ended up getting 10 years in federal prison. So then now he's removed from the household. And then now
Okay.
I just have my daughter and I'm taking care of my daughter. So now I'm a single mother. So as I'm older now, here's the pattern. Now I'm a single mother and my daughter's father is removed from the household. Right. Wish I would have seen it earlier, but now I see the pattern. So then now I'm a single mother. My sister ends up wanting to party all the time and she had a son. So now I end up getting custody of her son. So not only am I a single mother at 20, but then a few years later, I end up getting custody of her son and ended up raising my nephew for a few years as well. So now I'm a single mom of two by myself. So very, very challenging and very tough. So then at that time, being as though my daughter's father was removed from the home and the income was removed. I'm working at Citibank, making maybe $12 an hour, but I need more money. So now that I know people that, make money, so to speak,
In the streets,
in the streets,
in the street.
that I go to the street to get some money. So I go to the street to get some money. And then that's how I ended up getting locked up as far as being around people that were in the streets, and I was around some pretty big guys, and they came for the guys, and to try to get to the guys, they came and got me so that they could get to, the bigger guys that they were looking for. And then I decided not to tell, so to speak. So they wanted me to take them to the big guys. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. So they was like, okay, well, take your jewelry off. You're under arrest. And I was like, okay. And I took my jewelry off. And next thing you know, I was under arrest.
So you have these two little kids at home. Now they're taking you away. Who's with the kids?
Now the kids go to my mother's house. So then now my mother is taking care of the two kids at her house while I'm in jail. But then my daughter's father, remember, he was already in jail, so he couldn't take my daughter, but his mother had came and got my daughter. And then, of course, my mother took my son, my sister's son. And so my daughter ended up going with her grandmother.
So how long were you locked up?
A year. And then after
A
that,
year? Oh,
yes. And then I was
I
on
was going to
house
say like overnight. Oh my God, a year.
arrest. No,
Wow.
a year. And then they put me on house arrest. So because it was my first time getting in trouble, they gave me an ankle bracelet on my ankle to where they could track my movement. But they allowed me to leave the prison and go home so that I can continue to work and take care of my daughter and my house. But I just had a monitoring bracelet, or they call it house arrest. I had a monitoring bracelet on my ankle
So
so
that
that
was
they could watch.
after a year in jail. Now you have the bracelet for how long?
Yeah, I get approved for the bracelet, so I get to go home on house arrest. So it's like a big deal for about 6 months.
6 months. Okay. So what about your job at Citibank? Were you still allowed to
Oh,
work there?
no,
No.
that was
Not in a
over.
bank. Not in a bank.
But actually, Citibank was when I was 18. I worked at Citibank for a while, but then after Citibank, I ended up working at the hospital. And so I was working in the emergency room. So I left Citibank and was at got Citibank at 18, left the and went to the hospital at 20. So when I got incarcerated, I was 20 and working at the ER. So when I got locked up, they actually came and got me from the hospital, from my job. I was working in the ER and they called me over to human resources and said, hey, someone wants you in human resources. And when I got the human resources, I already knew who it was. And I was just like, hey. And they was like, we have a couple questions for you. So they were asking some questions and it went downhill from there because I did not cooperate. So yeah.
Wow, did you
Yeah.
ever regret not cooperating or no? You did
So
you did you ever regret not cooperating or you did what you had to do?
no, I didn't regret it because it comes with it. You kind of know the risk. It's like if you go in a store and you steal a piece of candy, you know the risk. So there's no reason to say, hey, my cousin stole candy too. You know the risk of exactly what it is. You know, it's like we're not talking about your cousin, we're talking about you. So no, I knew the risk. And so that was a part of the game. Now, are there other people that cooperate? Yeah, 100%. But for me, the type of person that I am, yeah, I'm like,
You were
I knew the
responsible.
risk. Yeah, I was a responsible.
Okay. So you get out of jail with your bracelet, and where do you go work then?
At that time, where was I working? Where did I? Oh, I ended up getting another job at this little printing company called Stationery House, I think it was called. This is over 15 years ago. So I ended up getting a job at this little printing company. But what had happened, which was so amazing, is I did have a paid lawyer when I went back to court. So what they ended up doing was they ended up giving me probation and kind of putting my charges and files and everything on kind of what they call, I think it was called a stet docket or probation before judgment. So what that meant is if I didn't get in any other trouble, that I could possibly have my charges removed. So I had a paid lawyer and I ended up, doing everything they wanted. And that took about 2 years. So I'm working at this printing place. I'm not getting in any trouble. I'm doing everything I need to do. And we go back in front of the judge. I had to get letters from the college because I did end up graduating from college. I got a degree in psychology. So I did some things, but I was still, I was still responsible and good and still doing other things. So I ended up getting my degree from psychology, and I just had to get a couple letters from like the banks and just different people that knew me in the community for the person I was outside of the circumstance that I was dealing with. I'm 20. I'm a young, not teenager, but I'm 20. I'm young. I get in trouble, make a bad decision. So they will give you a chance to be able to make that right. And I did make it right, went back to court a couple years later, and then they removed my felony. I had a felony, and that was the first time that that lawyer said he has been in the business for years and he has never ever seen anyone be able to get their felony removed off of their record. And my felony ended up getting removed off of my record. And it was a clean slate ever since then. I've never gotten more than a traffic ticket after that. That was a blessing and definitely a second chance.
Wait, so he never saw anyone else get that second chance, get that?
Nope.
Wow.
In his whole career,
That's
never. I'll
amazing.
never forget his name, Mr. John Salvatore. I will never forget him. And he just said, "It's something about you. I just know that this was a mistake. I know that you're a good kid. Like, it's just something about you." And he could see all the other things that I have did. I graduated from college. I bought a house at 20. I bought my first house at 20. So I'm getting in trouble and everything. I'm still responsible. I'm working at Citibank. I buy my first house at 20, legit. Not related to the streets or anything. And he could just tell that I was a great person. He said, "Everyone you know in the community get letters." And I got letters from the college, from the community centers that I would volunteer from. I was, a really good person. I had just wanted to make some extra money to take care of, the kids. And I was used to that. I was used to that lifestyle at that point. And so, yeah.
So how did you buy a house? There you are struggling, or was that before you had your daughter? Like,
What
how
be
did you, if you were
what that was
struggling?
before my
Yeah.
daughter's father got locked up.
Okay.
Yeah, so he made a lot of money, and I went through a legit program that was only based on me, though, to be honest. So let's kind of go back, because I want, and later when people see this interview, it's important for them to know he didn't buy my house. With the money that he made, he did not buy my house. He didn't contribute to it. I went through the USDA program. And when you go through the USDA program, it's for median income, people. So I applied for that and ended up at that time having to put only $500 down on a house. And I bought a brand new 2-bedroom, 1.5 bath townhouse for $500 down. And there was a lady, Miss Joe, and I seen this ad in the newspaper at the time. I used to read the newspaper. And I seen an ad in the newspaper, "Hey, ever dream of owning your own home?" And I said, "You know what? I don't know what it was, but I said, I've dreamt of it before. I mean, it's never happened in my family, but I said, I'm gonna call her." And I called her and she said, "I'll help you with everything you need to get in this house." And she walked me through repairing my credit. She walked me through everything. And she said, "Do you have $500 in the bank?" And I said, "Of course," because I was a saver and I was really good with money. And I said, "Of course, I have $500 in the bank." And I bought this brand new, I picked out the lot, the townhouse that I wanted, and it was brand spanking new. And I was 20 years old, and I bought that house for $500 down. So that's how I bought that house. So it was not related to having a whole bunch of money or the streets or any of that. So then now that's why I am in real estate. And then I do credit repair as well, because my goal is to now help people do the same thing that they helped me do, 20 years ago when I was 20 and just looking for a way out.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did they? I wonder if they still have that USDA
They
program.
do. So
They
actually,
do. Wow,
yeah, I was thinking
awesome.
about going through it again myself just to see how much has changed and to get experience with it, but they do still offer the program. So I just received my real estate license a couple months ago, and I'm like excited to be able to help people with that because now it's like coming back around full circle. The same thing someone helped me with, I'm going to be able to help others do the same thing. So I'm like excited.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you're 20, you buy a house, you have your daughter, you get the son, and then you end up in jail for a year. Were you wondering, like, am I a schizophrenic? I'm such a good person. How did this happen? Like, how did you reconcile that? Or you were just responsible, you knew you made a bad decision. Like, boom, I'll
That's
get
what it
out of here
was.
and I'll move on. Wow, that's amazing.
And that's what it was. And the person that honestly, how, like I said, hanging around certain people. So I knew what type of person I was, but again, I'm like, just hanging around the wrong crowd sometimes. I would go to a different part of town and my friends were still doing what they were doing. So yeah, I reconciled it with, I just made a bad decision, which we all do. So yeah.
Wow, that's so impressive.
Yeah.
It's really impressive. Okay, all right. So you get out, you're working at the print shop. Do you get your daughter back right away?
Yeah. So
Okay.
when I was on house arrest, yeah, I had my daughter back. So that wasn't a problem. She was just staying with her grandmother until I did come home. So I just came home and just got back into what I was already doing. It wasn't like a different lifestyle or anything. I was working at the
Yeah.
hospital. So I just
Right.
jumped back into what I was doing.
And who took care of her while you were working?
Oh, she would go to a daycare.
Daycare. Wow.
Yeah. So I applied for daycare programs. I was very
Oh.
responsible. I applied for daycare programs.
Wow.
And she
Wow.
daycare. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. All right. So then you're working. Can you hear that noise? I don't know if you can hear the.
No.
No? Okay. It was so loud that they're working on the land. Okay, good. I'll put it out of my mind. That's why I keep muting. Okay. Right.
No,
So
I
you
can't hear anything.
you're working at the print shop, you get your daughter back, then what happens?
I just continue working. And then at this time, I have a felony, because it's still on this little probation period. So I have a felony. So I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? So I open up a beauty salon. So I start doing hair on the side, trying to make some extra money. Because at this time, I'm a hustler. I got to make money. I have kids to take care of, right? But now I need to do it legally. I need to leave the bad people alone. And now I need to do it legally. So I started doing hair and I became really, really good at it. So I would just come to you and start doing your hair. So then at this time, I said, you know what? I can't keep going to people's houses. I need to get in a salon. So I went to a salon and different salons and asked about renting a booth. And they were giving me the amounts to rent a booth. And I just said to myself, the amount that I'm paying them, I could be in my own. I was just very, very smart. And I was always told that since I was younger, that I was very, very smart. I used to go to this little rec center and we would go there for tutoring. And then I became a tutor. And I remember Mr. John at the rec center, he would always tell me, you are so smart and I'm going to make you a tutor. He would always tell me, I'm going to be the next Oprah. Because Oprah was really big and popular at the time. But he was just all people always told me how smart I was and how good I was going to do. So I was really, really smart. So I said, no, I'm not paying them that amount when I can be in my own building. So I started looking for buildings and spaces and I found one and I was like, I can pay you the deposit now. And I paid the deposit. And next thing you know, I have my own beauty salon. So I had a beauty salon for 7 years. And then that's when my entrepreneurship honestly started in my 20s. I've always had it in me. Yep.
But
So
how
at this
did you know how to do hair?
well, I had a, okay, good question. So it's one of those things where when we're younger in our culture, we do each other's hair.
Okay.
So my cousin might braid my hair. I might braid your hair. We get out of the swimming pool, our hair is flying. So it's like, hey, can you give me two braids in my hair? Can you do something with my hair? So just in our culture and just
Just
kind of trial
playing, yeah.
and error. Yeah, just playing in doll baby's hair, So doll babies, and it's just something that, a lot of my family are beauticians and do hair really well. So it was just in me, not something I really wanted to do. It was just the circumstances, to be honest, because
Yeah.
my goal was never to be a beautician or to do hair. That just was never my dream.
Right, but you had your own business. Did you have other beauticians come in?
I did. I had family members come in. So I actually hired family members now. That didn't go so well, but
Oh.
I had my sister, I had my cousins. I had a couple other girls that was like, hey, I do hair. Can I get a booth in here? So I ended up being a person now where I was able to give booths and have other people in there. So I did have other people in other chairs inside my salon. And I had it for 7 years and I named it after my daughter. Yep.
Wow. All right. How are we doing on time? Oh, it's 1:30. All right. It's time for our commercial break. And then we'll come back and we'll hear about the rest of the
Oh
story.
my
That's
goodness.
amazing. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes. All right.
Has social emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. KIKORI.
Oops. All right. And I was going to do my own commercial. So thank you to Kikori, our sponsor. And I'm just going to do a little commercial for my own process. My book is The Real Talk, it's called Real Talk. And it's about saying what you're afraid to say in order to have the life that you really want, but are afraid you can't have. And so if any of you are out there and you know you're not saying things, you know, you're not asking for what you want, or you're feeling a little stuck, go to my website, Real Talk with Hillary, that's with one L, Hillary, and schedule a call with me. I'd love to hear what's going on. I'd love to see, you know, where you're stuck, what you really want, and just have a quick conversation with you. It's not a sales pitch. It's just a really lovely conversation to see where you're at and if there's any, you know, if there's anything that we can do together. So, realtalkwithhillary.com. If you haven't read the book, get the book. If you haven't taken the Real Talk quiz, take that and then book a quick call with me. So thank you. Wasn't so bad,
Absolutely. I will
right?
definitely be booking my call as well.
All
I
right,
love
good.
it.
Yay. Yay. All right. Now you really can't hear that noise. You
No, I
can't.
cannot
Oh
hear
my God,
anything at
it's so
all.
loud. I can barely think. All right. So I'll
I
keep
can.
muting myself, but. All right, so here you are. You've had your beauty salon for 7 years, right? You have your daughter back. You've gotten your felony erased. Amazing. You're free, right? And I know you made a big move, but did anything else happen before that, before you got to where you're going now?
Got my felony removed. I opened my beauty salon. And at that time, that was it. I mean, yeah, all the excitement had kind of ceased. All the excitement had kind of ceased. I got the beauty salon. That was a great moment of getting the beauty salon because my father was there, which my father is deceased now. So he was able to be there, my father and my mother, at the ribbon cutting. The mayor came and it was a big deal. Everyone knew my salon. It sat on a main street. It had these big windows, and people would just pull up and stop in my salon and hey. And I had people from everywhere, from Maryland, because my salon was in Maryland. I'm from Maryland. So I had people from Maryland, West Virginia, DC, Baltimore, from everywhere in the tri Pennsylvania, the tri-state area. So my salon, a lot of people knew me.
How did they know to come? Like, how did you publicize it? Or they just knew? Like, you
Word
knew them
of
from people?
mouth, because a lot of them I
Wow.
was already doing. I would go to them and I would
Oh,
do their
okay.
hair. But then now I'm like, I need a building versus making, driving to Virginia, driving to Pennsylvania. I'm like, I need them to come to me. So once, they started getting their hair done and other people would see it, then word of mouth. But I did have, a radio ad, I had flyers, and then just where I was located, everyone just knew me.
Wow, that's such a success story. All
Thank
right.
you.
And then I know you moved, right? Was there anything else
Yeah.
that happened before you moved? You just up
No.
and left your whole family, right? And went
Yeah.
down to, oh, I forget where. Where'd you go?
I went to North Carolina.
Right. So what happened?
Yeah.
You just closed up your shop or did you sell it or what?
No, I closed it up. So that was a big conversation is, are you going to do that when you get down to North Carolina? Are you going to leave it open up here and just run it and let other people still continue to pay you and all that? But when I was done with Maryland, I wanted no ties. I did not want to get calls about things that were going on in my salon, people not maybe showing up or tearing it up or just a bad name. My shop ran its course. I kept it under, good, energy involved, no problems. Everyone knew me and I wanted it to end that way. And I just didn't want any ties. So I just, let everyone know, hey, I'm shutting the salon down. I had it for 7 years, from 2005 to 2012. Yep, 7 years. And I just let it go. It was like, I'm starting fresh. I'm picking up and I'm starting fresh.
All right. So you took your daughter and you went to North Carolina, right?
Yeah, so I was in between. I have an aunt that lives in Augusta. So I was like, maybe I'll move to Augusta. Atlanta was an option. So I thought about moving to Atlanta. And then I had went to Charlotte. And once I got to Charlotte, I was like, okay, Charlotte's it. And so I made my decision and I was like, I'm moving, I'm leaving. And I packed everything up in a U-Haul and on the way to Charlotte, I was. I even had a motorcycle at
Did
that
you
time. That was
sell
another.
your house? Did you sell your house?
I didn't. I rented it out. So
Wow.
I hired a property management so I wouldn't have to deal with anything. Again, I'm just very smart. So I hire property management, get them to find the tenants to live there by doing a background check and everything. They collected my rent. We did inspections every couple months just to make sure my property wasn't going downhill. And I rented it out for 2 years. And then after I was like, okay, I know that I'm going to be down here now. I just ended up selling it. And plus the tenant that I had was just like ended up having some cats come in my property and was just like destroying my property. And I was like, it was a bad experience as a first time landlord, so to speak. And I was like, no, I'm done with this. I'm selling it. Like, I don't even want to fix it up, put him out and rent it again. I moved away and I just didn't want the headache of anything. So I just sold it.
All right, and then what did you do when you got down there?
I know.
Come on, come on.
I definitely didn't do hair. So everyone,
You did or you didn't?
I did not.
No, okay, good. So
No, my
you do, you
goal,
start over.
my goal and dreams was never to do hair. So I'm like, no, even though there is a thing that, being in Maryland and Pennsylvania is up north. So down south, more people have dreads and braids and that type of thing, which is what my salon was. It was Serenity Dreadlocks and Braids shop. And so everyone's like, it's going to be big down there. So many people down there, have it. You should really do it down there. And I was just like, nope, that's not what I want to do. So if I don't want to do it, then I've always been the type where I don't follow people. If I don't want to do it, I'm not doing it. I don't care how good it sounds to you. If I don't want to do it, then I won't do it. So I said, nope. So I had money in the bank, moved down there, and was just like, I'll figure it out whenever I get down there. So I got down there, applied for some jobs. At first, I was working, when I first got to Charlotte, I was working at the movie theater downtown in Charlotte. It was a movie theater, and you can actually be sitting in your seat, and they would bring you food and alcohol and all that to your seat. And we didn't have that back home. So that was like amazing. So I'm in the city in the heart of Charlotte, even though I'm working at the movie theater, I'm working at this movie theater where you can eat and drink in there. And then at night it turns into a nightclub. So I'm like, okay, I'm meeting a lot of people. And then I ended up landing a medical job where I was doing data entry for a medical billing company because I was really good and fast at that. Was like 80 words per minute, with data entry. And so I ended up landing a data entry job. No, not even a month after I was down there. Good money, benefits, everything. I had got the job on my birthday. Moved down there in October. My birthday's in November. I got the job on my birthday and I was like, y'all, I'm good. And at that time, I was like, I still had money in the bank because I've only been down there a month. So I ended up getting this job, still worked at the movie theater some on the side. Always got to have income. I'm an income girl. So,
And what was your daughter doing during this time? She was with you, right?
yeah, she's in school. Because at the time when I brought her down here, she was only 12. But I had her in gymnastics. I had her in step because up north we didn't have step and all that kind of stuff. I had her in step. I had her in cheerleading. So she was in all the sports. So she was very active.
She was happy. Was she happy?
No. No. When she left, oh my, when that U-Haul pulled out of the driveway, all of her friends were in the driveway. They were crying. They was waving at the van. I felt so bad. They were waving. They were bringing her little stuffed animals from their room and writing her letters that they were going to miss her. And they cried in that driveway because they had known her for 12 years. All of us as single moms, it was a cul-de-sac of us. And we all raised our kids together and helped each other out. So all of them grew up together from babies to 12 years old. So all of them knew each other and they were like this. We would feed each other's kids, pick each other's kids up from school. Like it was very close knit. And I mean, they all cried like a baby. So she wasn't a happy camper about it. But, you know, once she got down here and she adjusted, she's very excited now that I made that decision. Very excited. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So that's 11 years ago, right? All right. So where'd you go from? How much time do we have? Okay. We got 13 minutes to get caught up and where you're now.
So now I'm here.
You went from medical billing. I know you're doing the debt credit repair and financial, no, real estate.
Yes.
You just got a real estate license. Real estate, so obviously that helped you way back when. Now you're doing it. How did you transition? I hate that word, but how did you switch from medical billing?
No, medical billing was just a job. And so what happened is I met my daughter's counselor at her school that she was doing sports in and asked them, hey, how do I get into the school system? And he actually plugged me into the school system and I ended up getting a teacher position. I know, me of all people. Now, mind you, I'd have had a felony. You know, I'm the girl with the felony. I'm the bad girl from Maryland. And I'm like a teacher position. So they end up giving me a teacher position in math and I was teaching math. And then that's how I ended up transitioning from medical billing to now I'm a teacher. So I'm this girl with this felony and all of this background and trials and tribulations. And now I call home and I'm like, mom, I'm a teacher. I got my own class. And she's like, what? I'm like, yes. You know, the dream wasn't to be a teacher, but now I end up being, you know, a math teacher. And then while I'm a math teacher, of course, I need extra income. So I see this ad on the social media that says, hey, would you love to help people with their finances and also, you know, work from home? And remember, my first job was Citibank. I bought my house at 20. So I've always been good with money and into finances. I was an entrepreneur running my own business. So I've always been good into finances. And I contacted this girl about this post that she had on social media, helping people with their finances. Come to find out it was credit repair. And, you know, she gave me her spiel and she gave me a little bit of information about it. But I was just kind of like, well, where's your boss? You know, I felt like I needed more information. Where's your boss? And she said, my boss is in Atlanta. And I said, well, let your boss know that I would like to meet your boss because I need some more information, but I'm very interested. So I was off that week. The kids were on vacation at school. So I drove to Atlanta, went to hear about this company. And when I heard about this company, I was like, I'm in. So there was this thing and I'll never forget the guy, Mr. Joe, he was giving this speech and he says, hey, who has $288 to start this program? He said, stand up. And, you know, I stand up. And then he said, everyone that's sitting down, you guys need the program more than the people that have $288. You need this opportunity. And I was like, well, dang. And that just always stuck with me. But I was a person that had $288. So I was like, well, I got $288. Fast forward, I jump into this credit.
But you also stood up. A lot of people are just watchers. They're not people that jump.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's more than just that you have the money. It's that you weren't afraid to get up.
Well, I appreciate that. I never saw it that way.
Well, yeah, because they tell some courses where they're holding $100 bill and they say, hey, whoever comes and gets it first can have it. And most people just sit there like there's a catch or whatever. And
right.
The person who runs and gets the money. But most people don't. They
that
don't
is
stand
so true.
Up. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You're like one of the top, whatever. go-getters. You're a
Yeah,
go-getter. And not
that percent
everybody
is that
is.
small
So
percent. Yeah, that small
yeah,
percent.
not most people will just stand and watch. Like, who's gonna do it? What's the catch? You know,
Right.
are they gonna laugh at me? Whatever, all their crap.
Yeah, I never thought
Yeah.
of it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Yeah. So that's
appreciate
really
that.
cool. All right, keep going. Keep going.
So I stand up. I have 288. I stand up. And then at this point, I'm interested in this credit repair. They're telling me I can help people repair their credit and I can get $100 for every person that I help repair their credit. I'm like, oh man, this is it. I'm like, what? Now, mind you, it's legal too. I'm like, hold on, I can help people repair their credit like someone did me years ago, and it's legal. And you're telling me that all I got to do is help people get their credit repaired, and you're going to give me $100 for every person. I'm like, no strings attached, not even any taxes being taken out of. This is entrepreneurship. This is 1099. I'm like, oh, I'm in. I couldn't even, after I made it out of the meeting, I'm like, I'm in. And the girl that had told me about it, I'm more excited than her. I'm like, this is the plan. We got to go back and do this. Now, mind you, she's already been doing it. But I come in and she's moving too slow for me. They're not doing anything. So I'm like, listen, this is a big opportunity. You may not need money, but I need money. So I'm ready to run with it. My whole way home from Atlanta, I'm calling everybody on my phone. Hey, I have this program. What does your credit look like? I'm gonna help you fix your credit. Do you want to buy a house? You want to buy a car? What's your credit look like? I'm gonna help you fix your credit. And I'm just calling people and they're like, all right, I'm ready. I'm like, give me a second. We got a new program. Now, mind you, I don't even know the program. We got a new program. It's up and running. I just wanted to see if you was interested. I'm gonna give you a call in a few days once we get this thing up and running, but I got you. Because people knew me. So if I tell them I got them, then they're like, okay, she's been pretty stand up and a woman of her word, owned a salon and all that. So they're like, if she says she got me, they know who I was. So on the way back, I called so many people and everyone was like, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. And I killed it. So then the leader found out about me in Atlanta and was like, hey, we're coming down to Charlotte. Get your team together. Make sure Star is there. So they come down. I'm there. And they say, whoever brings the most people, they were having a contest. Whoever brings the most people, they were going to pay, I think it was like $250. So they say, hey, let's start with the visitors. How many people did everybody bring? All my people stand up. I win the $250. I'm like, so then after that, they want to do, after the leaders give their spiel about the program, I have people that want to join my team. I'm not even in the system yet. I just came from a meeting a couple days ago. I don't have a business or anything yet. So I'm like, hey, these people want to join my team. What do you want me to do? Like, they're ready. And I didn't even know what to do. So I won the money. People wanted to join my team. The leaders ended up putting the people in. And then once they got in, like my business blew up. I ended up getting a free Audi A8 paid for through the company, free cruises 3 times. And I took a visitor with me 3 years in a row. I went to Bahamas. I went to Jamaica. I went to Haiti. I went to Mexico, Cozumel, you name it. I have been there. And this is my first time. I'm a girl from nothing, so to speak. We weren't going on cruises and
From the
vacations.
streets, from the
Yeah.
streets. No, I know you're
That's
in the
right, Miss
streets, but
Hillary.
you got it's a
I'm,
new term now. You're in the
yes, you
streets.
do. Yes, you do. You learned something today. I'm
Wow,
a girl from the
that's
streets, and now I'm
amazing.
on a cruise, and now I'm driving in an Audi A8.
Now,
And
what year
now
was
I'm
that?
making. This is
You moved?
2017.
Okay.
2017, 2018. I made six
Wow.
figures, so I got a six-figure ring. Walked up on a stage, spoke in front of thousands, got my six-figure ring. Now I'm a vice president in the company. I got a huge team of over 1,500 people, and I am in Charlotte going crazy. Everybody in Charlotte knows me. I'm on the
1,500 people.
1,500 people. I'm on the radio. I'm everywhere. My car has credit repair on it. All my teams, all their cars have credit repair on. We got these t-shirts on with the credit repair on the back of them, and we were
Nice.
like, I'm like, we're taking over Charlotte. And that was just my energy. We're taking over Charlotte. We are Team No Sleep. We are taking over Charlotte. Are y'all ready? And they were down, and we took over Charlotte.
Wow. All right, so that's 2017, right? So that's 6 years. What have you done now? What?
Now I'm not in the, that was network marketing. So you grow a
Okay.
team, your team works. and they do things and you get a certain income residuals off of them as well. So then what I did was, was it 3 years ago? 3 years ago, I branched off on my own. So then now I have my own company, Five Star Credit and Financial Services. So no more network marketing. I made about $400,000 through them, free car, free information, everything, built my team. But now I've built enough status and everything to where now I'm known. And now it's time to break off on my own. Like, that's the goal, is to be on your own. And so now I have my own business, and it's Five Star Credit and Financial Services. So now I help people with to build their credit. I help people repair their credit. If people just need a little bit of a boost, you know, they just need 50 points, then I provide trade lines where we can have, you know, history and things placed on their credit to be able to help them boost their score. So yeah, and it's legal, Miss Hillary. And it's legal. So trade lines, you can say, hey, star, I'm trying to buy this house and I'm short 40 points. And I can say, let me take a look at your credit. I take a look at your credit and say, well, actually, you qualify for a trade line, and I can have the trade line placed on your credit. It can boost your score up to 100 points in a matter of 30 days. Sometimes even more. I had someone that got 200 points in a matter of 30 days.
And that's legal?
Yep. And it's legal. Yep. Trade lines are legal. So then I help people repair their credit. If they don't have any credit because they've always dealt with cash, I help them build their credit because some people don't have any credit. I help people with personal credit and business credit, because if you want to do funding or start a business, you don't want to use your personal credit for that. You want to use your business credit for that. So then I help people for that. And then now that my credit repair, the busy season is January to April, now I will be jumping into real estate come April. So I will be jumping into real estate this month. I have my license since December, but now I'll be incorporating the real estate into it. Your thing's mute. I can't hear you.
Okay, sorry, because of the noise. So do you have employees or you do it all yourself?
No, just me. Now, I do have virtual assistants that do certain things for me. Yeah, but everything is kind of automated and self-sufficient. If you want to sign up, I send you a link, and it's kind of self-sufficient. It takes you through the process.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so now I have my own company.
You're amazing.
Thank you.
You really are. No, you really are. Here's where I'm going to cry. All right. I got to cry at least once or twice to show. But no, you really are amazing. Look where you came from. Obviously, you were smart. But, you know, someone else could be smart and not believe people when they tell them. But you believed them and you did something with that. And even though you were in jail, it's like, it's amazing. You didn't let that stop you. You know, you just kept going and you had a dream and, you know, you're... Wow.
I always keep going. And even like I shared with you when we talked personally, my mother passed away a couple months ago. And, you know, that's been tough, but I'm still pushing. I'm still going, you know, and that was, you know, that was tough a couple months ago. Just got a phone call. She wasn't sick or anything. So we didn't know that we were going to lose her. She was in Walmart, ended up having a heart attack inside of Walmart. And I got the phone call, rushed to the airport, and they were like, she fell. And by the time I got to the airport here in Charlotte to fly to Maryland, they was like, she's gone. So that's even been hard. And that's only been about 7 or 8 months now. And I'm just still pushing. So now both of my parents are gone, you know, and I'm still pushing. I have to. Yeah. I push my whole entire life. Does it get hard? It does. And you wouldn't even believe, you know, some of the things that we talk to. That's just some of it. You know, that's just 50 minutes of it. It's way more deeper than that. But yeah, I just keep pushing.
Wow. Well, thank you for, I know I have so many more questions, but we only have 1 minute left. So we'll have to do it again. You'll have to do part two. So just thank you for your generosity and your willingness to talk about the hard stuff and for not giving up, for being an inspiration for other people who, you know, may have some of the same situations. Yeah. And may not think it's possible to overcome them. Mm-hmm. But look at what you did. So thank you. And anything you want to say in closing?
Just, you know, just again, my name and all my information, I'm sure will be attached to the video, but just to get my information.
Right. So she's creditrepair.starbroadus, StarBroadus.com. Mm-hmm. That's her website. If you want to, I mean,
you can also call or text. My number is 980-395-6691. For more information, if you are interested in that USDA program and getting a house now, I can help you with that since I'm in real estate. If you do need your credit repaired, don't let it stop you. When I bought that house, I was making $12 an hour. And no matter what your situation is, that's what I'm here for. So I'm here to help the people that think that it's not possible and to do that same thing that someone else did for me. So my social media is Star Broadest as well. So I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. But again, just reach out. Let's have a conversation. I provide 15-minute consultations. Let's have a conversation and just see how I can help you. And then we can go from there. But if you really want it, it's possible. And I'm here to, you know, not only show from my experience, but to definitely help. So just definitely, again, reach out. You can text me 980-395-6691. Look me up and follow me on social media, Star Broadest. Last name Thank Broadest, you. Like Snoop Dogg.
Thank you. Thank you so much, yeah. Dart. And again,
thank you.
If you want to have a real talk conversation, go to Real Talk with Hillary, Hillary, and book a call. We'll talk about where you're stuck and what you're not saying. So thank you. Thank you again, Star.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary show.
Blessings to
you. We hope you were entertained and inspired. Please subscribe to Hillary's newsletter. Go to gettingrealwithhillary.com for more freedom techniques and fantastic stories and links to other great stuff. And don't forget to tune in every week on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio TV. And let's get real. Let's get connected. Let's get inspired and create that life you love.